Welcome to KHD Bible Study. My name is Emmanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilath Haderach Messianic Synagogue in New York City. I lead a detailed study of the Holy Scriptures from a Messianic Jewish perspective, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the Scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore and read the book of Isaiah. Thank you very much for joining us through the journey of the book of Isaiah. We began the journey by examining the extremely unique history of the book of Isaiah. Most of the Holy Scriptures from the modern era were well known by the time period of Rabbi Yeshua, the Pharisees, and the very early sages. We know that the Greek translation of the Holy Scriptures, the Septuagint, was created in Alexandria, Egypt, around the 3rd century BCE. They attempted to translate faithfully the ancient text. We know for a fact that the first five books, what we call the Torah proper, were translated into Koine Greek by Jews living in Alexandria. And of course, there was a large body of Jewish people who were able to influence those translations. But what about the rest of the books? Daniel, we know, had chapters added, which we discussed in previous Bible studies. And what about the significant book of Isaiah? Was it accidentally tampered with? This book, as I discussed earlier, is a time capsule between the fall of the Davidic kingdoms of Israel and Judah and the pre-modern era of the Second Temple. Adonai Elohim, who sees the end from the beginning, took measures to preserve this precious time capsule and ensure that all of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were hidden away during the Roman Wars, that Isaiah was the one scroll that remained completely intact and whole. Out of all those Dead Sea Scrolls, it is the one complete, intact scroll. What did this do? Well, this allowed modern historians and scholars who began to question the validity of Isaiah. It allowed the modern historians the ability to corroborate other translations with the one that had the roots all the way back to the time of Yeshua, Second Temple period. Like all translations, some Greco-Roman thought, idioms, and the like filtered into the Scriptures. Just as in English translations, we also add modern idioms and influence the modern translation. But the book of Isaiah of the Dead Sea Scrolls showed no Greco-Roman corruption. And it matched almost phrase for phrase, almost word for word, the Masoretic text, which basically is where we get all of our modern Jewish Hebrew texts from. The Masoretic text. Now, we've come to the final chapters of Isaiah, chapters 63 through 66. Before we read these chapters, I want to point out something to our live listeners because they are not able to receive the handouts, the graphics, the infographics that we receive each class, they're not aware of some of the things that we talk about off the air and some of the graphics and other discussions that we have. So before I go any further, I do hope that we can make these materials, the questions to enhance the reading and the infographics available to everyone soon, which means that we'll have some place where we can put them online and people are able to download them. Let's look at some key terminology before we get started reading. In all of our previous studies, we always pointed out key terminology, key phrases that help to make the readings clear, also help us to understand prophecy a little better. There is one particular terminology I'll use as an example. We talk about something as simple as a day. Well, a day to Elohim, as we mentioned in previous studies, is not a fixed planetary rotation of 24 hours, but it can be anything from 24 hours to thousands of years. So that when we read the term day in prophecy, it has a much broader meaning than just a 24-hour period. The clearest example of this is the creation account in Genesis. Each day is pronounced a day after all the events that Adonai intended are completed. From our human perspective, those events show up in the fossil records, some of them as thousands of years. Yet to Elohim, they were the evening and the morning, a day. So when Adonai says a day of vengeance, we know that the length of that day is based on his timing and not our limited understanding of the word day. As a matter of fact, we only have the word day through him. He tells us, he defines what a day is. Now let's look at another term, the Sabbath day. It's important to point out that while Adonai fixes a set day, such as the Sabbath day and the holy days, he is extremely explicit. The Sabbath is the seventh day and begins at our sunset on the last day of our work week and concludes before the start of the first day of the week. So, what does that mean? It means that Adonai expects us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because he knew that men would come along later and try to change the Sabbath day to the first day or some other day. The Sabbath day can never, ever, ever be Sunday because Sunday is the first day of the week. Now we're using Roman days, Roman names, but the first day of the week literally was just called the first day. Over time, as we have adapted to Greek and Roman and Persian systems of calculating time, we've come to accept that Sunday is the first day. But what's interesting, and any one of you can do this study, you can do this research, of the ancient languages, of the ancient peoples who kept records, almost all of them had one day with the same name or somewhat semblance of the same name in common. That day, surprisingly, is Shabbat. They all have some variation of the word Shabbos, Shabbat, on the seventh day. So most of the world, the ancient languages, the ancient peoples, knew that the seventh day was the Sabbath day. Just an interesting point. So tonight we're going to look at a new term. I want you to pay attention to a new term as we're reading. That term is the right hand of Adonai. In the Holy Scriptures, you'll see the term the right hand of God, or the right hand of Adonai. Or even when the Creator speaks himself in his own voice, he'll say, by my right hand. This is extremely important to understand prophecy. As a matter of fact, I'd almost say it's important to understand much of the Holy Scriptures. Right? That's a bold statement, right? Because I'm saying that the term right hand, my right hand, is significant all throughout the Scriptures. Well, it is, and then I'll explain why. When a human king puts someone on their right hand, they have appointed them with a power and authority equal to their own. We saw this with Pharaoh and Joseph in Egypt, with Mordecai in Persia. That person who is now high and lifted up can act with the same power that the king commands and they will often lead the armies of the king in battle. As a matter of fact, sometimes they'll wear the robe of the king. Sometimes they'll wear the signet ring of the king, which means they can seal official documents. They act in the authority of the king. The only person above that person who is on the right hand is the king. The only person above the person put into the position of the right hand, the only person above that person is the king. All right, keep that in mind. So only a king can appoint a person to their right hand. It is not an election. It's not a competition. You can't ask to be made the right hand of the king. Only the king can put a person on their right hand. This is important to remember. It's also a principle of Adonai Elohim. The Father, the Creator, is outside all planes of existence. He's the source of all existence, whether it's one universe or a billion, billion universes. He is infinite and he upholds all by his power and by his power alone. There is but one Elohim, one God. One God. Adonai is one. But Adonai has chosen to interact on our plane of existence through angels, messengers, servants, agents. All of those terms you'll see in the scriptures. Angels, messengers, servants, agents. Sometimes those angels have names. We all know Gabriel. We all know Michael. Some of those messengers have names, and some of those servants also have names. They're written in the scriptures. Just as he speaks to us through his written words and through the prophets, we're also considered messengers or servants. Just as he speaks to us through his written words and through the prophets, he has also chosen to intervene in human events through his right hand. And he says so all throughout the scriptures. So tonight, listen carefully for the right hand of Adonai. And we will have more to talk about after our reading. So let us begin our reading.
Chapter 63. Who is this coming from Edom in crimson garments from Bozrah? This one, splendid in his apparel, pressing forward in his great might. It is I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel so red and your garments like one who treads in a winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone from the peoples. No man was with me. I trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath. Their life blood splattered my garments, so I stained all my robes. For a day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was amazed, but no one was assisting. So my own arm won victory for me, and my wrath upheld me. So I trod down the peoples in my anger and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. I will remember the loving kindnesses of Adonai, the praises of Adonai, according to all that Adonai has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has granted them according to his compassion and according to the abundance of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who do not deal falsely. So he became their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. So the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. Then he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Ruach HaKodesh. So he turned to become their enemy. He himself fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put among them his Ruach HaKodesh, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Who divided the waters before them to make himself a name forever? Who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like cattle that go down into a valley, the Ruach Adonai gave them rest. So you led your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your holy, glorious, lofty abode, where are your zeal and mighty deeds? Are the yearnings of your heart, your compassion withheld from me? For you are our Father. Even if Abraham would not know us or Israel not recognize us, you, Adonai, are our Father, our Redeemer. From everlasting to is your name, Adonai. Why do you cause us to stray from your ways and harden our heart from fearing you? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of your heritage. Briefly, your holy people possessed it. Your foes have trampled your sanctuary. We have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those not called by your name. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence.
Isaiah chapter 64. As fire kindles brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, make your name known to your foes, so the nations may tremble before you. When you did awesome things that we were not expecting, you came down. The mountains shook at your presence. For from days of old, no one has heard, no ear perceived, no eye has seen God, except you who acts on behalf of the one waiting for him. You meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness. Who remembers you in your ways? Behold, you were angry when we keep sinning all the time. Would we be saved? For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness is like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. No one calls on your name or stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, Adonai, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry much more, Adonai, or remember iniquity forever. Oh, please see, we are all your people. Your holy cities become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful house, where our fathers praise you, has been burned with fire. All our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself at these things? Adonai, will you stay silent and afflict us very severely?
Isaiah 65. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, Hineni, to a nation not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own thoughts. These people provoke me continually to my face, sacrificing in gardens, burning incense on bricks, sitting among graves, spending the night in cave tombs, eating swine's flesh and the broth of detestable things in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, don't come to me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silence, but will repay, even repay into their laps, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, says Adonai, because they burned incense on the mountains and scorned me on the hills. So I will measure into their laps full wages for their former deeds. Thus says Adonai, as new wine is found in a cluster, and one says, do not destroy it, for a blessing is in it, so I will do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, an heir of my mountains from Judah. My chosen ones will inherit it, and my servants will dwell there. Sharon will be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in. For my people will seek me. But you who forsake Adonai, who forget my holy mountain, who prepare a table for fortune, who fill cups of mixed wine for fate, I will fate you to the sword, and all of you will kneel to slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. So you did what was evil in my sight, and chose what I did not delight in. Therefore, thus says Adonai Elohim, behold, my servants will eat, while you will go hungry. Behold, my servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. Behold, my servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. Behold, my servants will sing for joy with a happy heart, but you will cry from pain of heart and wail out of a broken spirit. You will leave your name behind as a curse for my chosen ones, and Adonai Elohim will slay you, but he will call his servants by another name. So he who says a bracha in the land will be blessed by the God of truth, and he who swears in the land will swear by the God of truth. For the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hidden from my sight. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For behold, I'm creating Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for joy. Then I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No longer will the voice of weeping or the voice of crying be heard in her. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the youth will die at 100 years. But one who misses the mark of 100 must be accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit, nor plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. And my chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor bear children for calamity. For they are the offspring of those blessed by Adonai, as well as descendants with them. And it will come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says Adonai. Amen.
Isaiah Chapter 66. Thus says Adonai, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is the house you would build for me? Where is the place of my rest? For my hand has made all these things. So all these things came to be, declares Adonai. But on this one will I look, one humble and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. One who kills an ox is like one who kills a man. One who sacrifices a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. One who offers a grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. One who burns incense is like one who blesses an idol. They have chosen their own ways, so their soul delights in their abominations. So I will choose their punishments and bring on them what they dread. But when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen. But they did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not delight in. Hear the word of Adonai, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hated you, excluding you from my name for my name's sake, have said, let Adonai be glorified, that we may see your joy. But they will be put to shame. A sound of uproar from the city, a sound from the temple, the sound of Adonai, who fully repays his enemies. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in one day? Can a nation be brought forth at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Will I bring the moment of birth and not give delivery, says Adonai? Will I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you who love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all you who mourned over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied from her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says Adonai, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You will be nursed, carried on the hip, and bounced on her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. So you will be comforted in Jerusalem. You will see, your heart will rejoice, and your bones will flourish like grass. So the hand of Adonai will be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, Adonai will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword, Adonai will execute judgment on all flesh, and those slain by Adonai will be many. Those who consecrate and purify themselves to enter the groves, following after one in the midst, who eat swine's flesh, vermin, and mice, will come to an end altogether. It is a declaration of Adonai. For I know their works and their thoughts. It will come about that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. Then I will set up a sign among them, and I will send survivors from them to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who pulls the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to distant lands that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. Then they will declare my glory among the nations. Then they will bring all your kinsmen from all the nations as an offering to Adonai, on horses and in chariots and on litters, mules and camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Adonai. Just as B'nai Israel bring their grain offerings in a clean vessel to the house of Adonai. I will also take some of them as priests for Levites, says Adonai. But just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, will endure before me, it is a declaration of Adonai, so your descendants and your name will endure. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh will come to bow down before me, says Adonai. As they leave, they will look on the corpses of the people who rebelled against me, for their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be a horror to all flesh. I want to thank you all for all of those who've read tonight, and all of those who've read throughout this series. There will be plenty of opportunities as we go forward in the next series. This has been an amazing journey through Isaiah. If you are so inclined to do so, I encourage each of you to do a phrase study in the Holy Scriptures. Look for the phrase the right hand of God. You will find a much deeper understanding of the servant Messiah King. As I mentioned earlier, Hashem does intervene in human affairs so that his plan of creation is fulfilled. When he does so, he does it through angels, prophets, and also by his own right hand. It is that mighty right hand that we all await to establish the kingdom of Elohim on earth. That right hand is the King Messiah David foresaw as he wrote about him and sang about him in the Psalms. The one who sits at the right hand of the Creator is also the one who wields the power of the Creator. He is not the Father, for there is one God. Adonai is one. He is the servant who came from the Father, and in doing so, became the Son of Elohim. But he also commands the armies of heaven and acts on behalf of the Creator. He will establish the sanctuary on the mountain of God in the midst of his people, Israel, in Jerusalem. But only when the Father commands, it is time. There are at least, I would say maybe more than 60 scriptures that talk about the right hand of God. Most of them are in the Psalms, but you will find the most famous reference of all in Exodus, in the classic history of the children of Israel. You can also look in the books of Habakkuk and Lamentations, and you will develop a much deeper understanding if you look inside the books of the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, where it is made clear by Adonai's servants and his prophets. It is made clear that the right hand of Hashem is reserved for the servant Messiah King. Just one reminder from tonight's reading, two reminders from tonight's reading. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was amazed, but no one was assisting. So my own arm won victory for me, and my wrath upheld me. Isaiah 63, verse 5. Then his people remembered the days of old, the days of Moses. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put among them his Ruach HaKodesh? Who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Who divided the waters before them to make himself a name forever? Isaiah 63. Blessed indeed is the son of David, to whom King David himself calls his Lord, in Psalm 110. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Next in our Bible study series, Hashem willing, is the 12 prophets, often called the minor prophets. We will study them in historical order. Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Joel, Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Obadiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. But there is nothing minor about these prophets at all, because they speak the word of Adonai, and every word that they spoke will be fulfilled. Before we complete this series, I'd like to say thank you for following our Bible study series in Pakistan, Zimbabwe, Japan, Malta, Austria, and of course, in 14 US cities, from the five boroughs of New York City to Los Angeles and San Francisco. I encourage you all to spread the word of God, and let's keep exploring the Holy Scriptures together. Thank you for joining us as we deeply explored the book of Isaiah from a Messianic Jewish viewpoint. We will return on January 7, 2025, and we will journey in depth and in the historical context into the world of the 12 prophets, also known as the minor prophets. This time period will cover the last years of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah and bring us forward to the reestablishment after the Babylonian captivity of the southern kingdom of Judah, known in history as Judea. Rarely will you hear these prophets taught in their entirety, and equally rarely will you understand the coming kingdom of God was not a new concept found in the New Testament, but rather a message of hope given to the Jewish people through the prophets.